and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I'm Will Wilson, and with me is Rob Hearn.
Hello.
And John Jordan.
Hello.
I'm actually burning in heat where I'm currently sitting, having spent most of this week absolutely freezing cold, because it's really cold here in the UK if you don't live here at the moment. We've got snow and ice. Rob's complaining about it all the time. It's a fair assessment, though, isn't it?
I don't think I complain about it all the time. I complained about it initially, and then actually I had a bit of an epiphany, and I realized, as I did earlier this year when we had snow, that if it's snowing, I'm actually more tolerant of the cold than if it's not snowing. Because if it's not snowing, then it's like some kind of hidden, snidey sort of thing, isn't it, the cold? And you can't quite account for it, and you're cold, you don't know why you're cold. You see the snow, you go outside, it all fits together, and you think, I can deal with this.
Okay.
Logical. Very logical.
Well, I'm very warm at the moment because my room, I'm not in the attic, but my room is essentially an attic. And every time during the night, it doesn't matter if it's 18 degrees outside or -4, it will be -5 in my room when I woke up in the morning. So I've got myself an oil radiator thing, which I had on earlier, and I was really busy with sort of working away, and then I completely forgot I left it on. So now I took a slight break earlier on to have food, came back to my room, and I just realized how damn hot it is. It feels like I'm in a sauna.
Did you introduce John?
I did, yeah.
Did you? Oh, yeah, he said hello. It's starting to feel awkward there. I was thinking, you didn't introduce John. This is terrible. How rude.
I'm going to jump straight to the news.
News!
First up on the news, it's almost Christmas. It's actually December the 2nd.
But it's getting there, though.
Yeah, it's getting there.
I've been having some good arguments with Susie about, because I've got a child on the way, and we've been having arguments about Santa policy.
Already?
Oh, yeah. I'm a man
lay down the rules,
ahead.
Though.
Yeah, you don't want to have disputes, you know, in front of the child. You've got to get this stuff sorted out. Susie's very, well, we're both sceptical. Even people who aren't sceptical ought not to believe in Santa. But I put it, you know, it's part of my general scepticism about everything is I don't believe in Santa. However, I'm sort of the view that you should let children believe, but Susie's she's very hard line, actually. She says no. You know, age 3, if they say, you know, who had the bite of the mince pie, she's going to say, I did. And if anyone else tells you anything else, they're lying. So, bitter, bitter disputes.
But won't the child then just rebel against authority and say he does exist and then create Santa, and then it'll be like a nightmarish Santa, and you'll have to somehow get an ancient tome to send him back to his prison?
Schizo child. Definitely something to be avoided.
But on that Christmassy theme though. there's lots of advent calendars, apparently. It's a very big fashion this year, really, isn't it? Lots of advent calendars from developers who are keen to get you playing their game or downloading their game this Christmas. So you've got balloons, you've got an advent calendar, you've got Angry Birds, of course, with Angry Birds seasons, not Christmas, crumble. Then, and of course, you've got R1 as well, haven't we?
Sort of. I mean, all I'm going to do is, or all somebody's going to do is just every time everyone else gives away stuff every day, advent calendar is one, and Game Loft are doing it. And we're just going to add to the feature that we've written to say, look, now these ones are available. Hopefully, this can be a call out, actually. At the moment, because the only ones I know about are that Balloons game, Game Loft, Angry Birds and advent calendar. So it's going to be a pretty pathetic little roll call of four things every day. So hopefully if people are listening to this and they know of other ones, write in and put a comment on the story or email me, rob@pocketgamer.co.uk, and tell me about them so I can make the feature more informative. And they can be contributing. And if somebody does do that, I'll give them a credit in the story, and following convention, I'll make their name bold so they feel special.
And because it's almost Christmas, we're going to be doing a special edition of the podcast next week, which I haven't told anyone about. where I'm going to be assaulting everyone on the team that I can find and recording it.
So assaulting or insulting?
Yeah. No, assaulting. Physical violence.
Physically?
Physical violence.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so look out for that next week.
What's it going to sound like? Can you give us a preview? It's just going to be like...
Get down! Get to the chopper!
Sort of like that. Yeah. Okay.
But there's only one of you, Will, and there's going to be like 10 of us. So
you've just given us a heads up.
You sent an email out
telling everyone to prepare.
I've played Double Dragon. You pull the enemies away one by one and then kick them.
Okay.
So stay tuned for that, listeners. That should be fun for me. Right, what else we got? Let's go to real news now. Infinity Blade is out on the 9th of December. It's priced at $599 or £349 in pounds sterling. And it is arguably the biggest title coming out next week.
I would certainly say next week. I thought you were going to make a larger, more impressive of the year.
Well, I wouldn't say it's the biggest of the year,
really?
But it is. It's very big next week. We've got some news on other titles that are going to be very big as well over December as well. So I don't want to put them all down.
I would, considering the year's only 4 weeks left, I would suggest that it probably is the biggest title of the what is left in the remaining bit of the year.
I don't know. There's Nova 2 though.
Yeah, but it's Nova 2's a sequel, isn't it? So it's
World of Goo, potentially.
World of Goo as well, yeah.
We played World of Goo on PC, and now we're playing on, you know. Yeah. I mean, this is something different. You know, I'm not saying I would say it's...
Yeah, you're saying
I'm
you...
a little bit of a skeptic about it, but it's certainly... It's a game that people are talking about who don't know very much about iPhone and iPad games. That's what my...
All right then. It's the biggest game of the year is coming out next week. Is everyone happy?
Of what remains of the year.
What remains of the year. Anyway, Infinity Blade. Everyone, we've talked about it for weeks now. So if you don't know what it is, then you haven't been listening. It's Epic and Chair's new game out next week. Is it? So John, you're not thinking it's going to be particularly good. Rob, what's your opinion on this?
I'll tell you, I was away when this game was announced and I came back and I was on the podcast the next week and I said, so tell me about this game, because I missed it last week and everybody explained it to me and I dare say I ventured opinions on it, but I've gone back to my original state of not having the slightest idea what it's about or really caring. I think I have a kind of mental block where it comes to, because we had this argument about hardcore, didn't we? And I was about to make the mistake again of saying it's a hardcore game. Is it, isn't it? Who knows? But this kind of game anyway, this kind of graphically rich game on iPhone, I have a mental block. I tend not to be very interested. So I've continued not to be interested in this, really. I don't think I'll be getting it unless somehow it turns out to be a really great game.
Intriguingly, from my point of view, it's the second arguably... premium sort of, I mean, like crossover title we've had from I'm putting it into its own category here with Id's Rage was out.
That's exactly what I was going to say
a few weeks ago, but it's like four times more expensive, maybe even more than that actually, because Rage was it was £1 if you were buying the HD version, but 59p if you weren't, and this one's $599, so it's a fair old amount of cash. Do you think it will still sell in the same numbers as Rage, or do you think that's actually going to end up?
Well, but they're not necessarily. I mean, the argument about the pricing is not how many you sell. It's how much money you make, isn't it? So obviously
if
it's four times as expensive. They're, as long as they sell, not
more
less
than a quarter
times
as
less.
Many.
So I mean, actually, it's kind of funny because I was this week a week ago I was at this develop conference in Liverpool and they. a discussion started from someone from Xbox saying that he thought it should be over like $10. He was like saying, you know, Epic, someone's got to release it like a, you know, a premium price game. Someone's got to release a $15 game, you know, really, because it's cost them, you know, it's obviously cost them a lot of money to make that game. And you could argue they're doing it for other marketing reasons, to market the engine, so people will license the engine off them. But he was saying, you know, it could easily be like a $20 game. You know, you could for what it looks like in terms of the graphics, they could do that. So obviously, from that point of view, it's actually very cheap. So it's kind of interesting that Will's going, well, is it too expensive?
I think that, though. I suppose it's the difference between intuition and evidence, because my intuition is always that no game is going to sell if it costs more than about £1.20, because there are so many really good games available for 59p or even free. But then, you know, when you look at the charts by revenue, expensive games do often do very well. So,
there are quite a few instances where the top grossing is actually, I mean, there are a few very expensive games in there, but there's quite a lot of 59p games. And using my basic knowledge of economics, there is a point in which the price and the amount of sales you can get meet, you know, theoretically. Mm. So, and it does seem to be 59p mostly.
But I think the difference is, for 59p, you're kind of going, no, if you've got like 159p, which most people have more than 159p, but you know, if you did have 159p, and it's like, do you buy Angry Birds or Cut the Rope, or, you know, and those are games of a certain type, you know. Rage was different because it was, they should have charged more for it, but they were just playing around with the model and didn't need to make any money. But for something like Infinity Blade, I mean, there's nothing else like it in the App Store. I mean, there just isn't anything remotely approaching it in terms of graphics, or even probably in terms of gameplay. So that's why it's not a comparative pricing in the way that another game, if you were going to do a Angry Birds type game, you couldn't do an Angry Birds game at $3.99. I mean, there's just no way you could do it.
Except for Angry Birds with a Z, wasn't that $3.99?
Yeah, did it sell? $6.99, was it? Okay. But I'm just saying, the interesting thing about Infinity Blade was they could have, you know, they literally could have chosen any price, and so I think they've been fairly conservative in what they priced it as, and then obviously they can still do it as a sale in a year's time or something, whatever. But
I'm being a bit devil's advocate there. I don't think it's overpriced personally, but yeah. I know a lot of people will look at the price and go, oh.
I just don't know if it's going to be terribly interesting. I mean, I don't know whether, you know, because it's the whole fixed camera angle or the pre-canned camera angles, and you're just swiping on it. I mean, to say just swiping, obviously, swiping can be an interesting gameplay mechanic. But I don't think it's, I think it's been one of these games, and actually Rage reviewed, I thought, fairly badly. You know, and I kind of think Infinity Blade could potentially, you know, so the more thoughtful sites such as us, you know, I don't know, I've not played it, but you know, I would be surprised if it kind of gets across the board tens, just because how the way it's going to be set up, I think.
Moving on from Infinity Blade,
can we talk about it some more? I mean,
no, what?
I'm joking.
You can if you want. No,
can we talk about all the Game Loft games that have been announced, all the kind of three rip-offs in a row?
Yeah, I was part of the Game Loft mass media video conference thing that happened tonight, which is Thursday. We put up a few stories about it, but we're also going to be looking at Game Loft games this week, hopefully, me and Tracy and I. Yeah, it's all their Christmas lineup, essentially. So it's all the big games. Apparently, the Uncharted clone is influenced by Uncharted, but also Tomb Raider. So there you go. That's a
surely by extension, anything that's influenced by Uncharted is influenced by Tomb Raider.
It's going to be Tomb Raider. And Indiana Jones, would you believe? Yeah. So it looks good, actually. It's got I need to have a go on it first. The controls look like that sort of typical Game Loft third person controls. So you use your right thumb to look around and shoot and aim down sights and jump, which I always find a little bit clumsy. I'm sure there's a better way of doing it, but again, it's that system. And the left thumb moves around. Nova 2 looked very nice. Very nice. I think Tracy has a hands-on of that, so if you have a look on the site, then you can see a detailed one. But it really looks like they've really sort of looked like they packed it out with lots of set pieces. It looks more sort of like action-packed than Halo, which is obviously not its influence in design and guns and monsters and vehicles. But it looks more like set piece driven. But the single player look, the multiplayer look good as well. Just the amount of features they got, game modes, they got loads of game modes. Asphalt 6 was demoed. Actually looked quite impressive. The graphics, that is. The fact that he was just bouncing off walls like a ping pong, as with all Asphalt games, which is why I don't really like them very much. I'm sure Asphalt fans will like it, but yeah, it looked impressive though. The lighting on the night level, I think it was in Tokyo, looked very good. Again, we're going to have detailed hands-on on all these Gameloft games very soon, so maybe even when this podcast goes up, we'll have them up on site. But stay tuned for them, because we'll delve into it and find out what's what and what's good and what's not. No release dates, of course, just December. So there we go.
It's kind of a release period, isn't it?
It's a window. So what are they? There's the Uncharted ripoff.
There's six of them, I think. Hang on, let me just...
Final Fantasy ripoff. Fantasy VIII, I believe, was the consensus.
Final Fantasy VIII, yeah. It's not Final Fantasy IX, because that was a more retro look to it.
But today, as one of our advent treats, so the advent treats from Gameloft, yesterday, a really good one. They gave us a driver for free. The old San Francisco-based driving game.
Yeah, that was good.
And today they just told us that a new game was coming. That was our treat. It's called Starfront Collision.
What could that be?
Well, tellingly, when Mark Brown put in a video story to the site, and I was going through it to sub it, and he had accidentally called it Starcraft Collision. I said, "Oh, Mark, you'll never believe what you've done. You've made a completely incongruous mistake and related two completely unrelated games by mistake." But yeah, StarCraft. It's
ridiculous.
I love the brazenness of the ripping off now. That's what I like about this kind of the three games that Gameloft has announced. Maybe it's just because they've announced three quite like rich games in quick succession, and it's just brought the rip-offness into sharp relief. But it just seems really rampant this time around. I don't know, there's just I feel like they've just decided, just stop pretending. They've thrown off the shackles of pretense and just said, let's get on with it.
They were fairly light shackles anyway, weren't they? all the other ones they've done.
To be fair,
when did Modern Combat come out? That's over a year ago now, hasn't it? Like a year in the summer. And when I was reviewing that, I just get completely confused about what title I was giving to it. So.
There's Dungeon Hunter 2, though. I don't think that's directly based on anything, is it? Or is that a Diablo claim?
Diablo, isn't it?
Is it Diablo? Oh. Well, at least it doesn't have a name like the devil.
No.
Beelzebub's lair.
Well, I'm sure their lawyers must look through that kind of thing to some degree. I'm sure there's, in terms of like titles, there's probably obvious things that you can't, kind of lines you can't step over.
We're seeing, and also we're going to be seeing a game which no one knows about yet, which could be on iPhone. It probably is on iPhone, but we haven't heard about it yet. Space Fracture. So we'll see what that's like. So yeah,
I reckon it's going to be Dead Space.
It does sound like it's going to be that sort of thing. It can't be a space combat game, because they did that recently with
Star Wars.
Star Wars, Rebel Assault ripoff. They're very bad. So we're going to have a look at these games very soon, so just stay tuned. They look exciting.
But I have to say, the one thing in Gameloft's defense is, it doesn't matter what they call their games. Yeah, the reason that kind of clone laughing of game kind of thing works is all those games are really good. So while none of those original games will ever come to iPhone, you're never gonna get Halo or Diablo, I doubt it, on iPad, or certainly not in the near future. You know, it's much better that the Gameloft goes out on whatever they call them. You know, it makes, you know, some of the, you know, some, those are some, will probably be some of the best games of the year, I think.
Yeah, definitely. That's how they get away with it. And Tracy actually asked somebody, I can't remember who it was, he spoke to the Gameloft in an interview, you know, what does he have to say about the fact that Gameloft is often accused of ripping off games, and the guy he spoke to just said, that's what people want. You know, it sells. And I'm sure he's right. Until they get sued.
You know what, though? Diablo on the iPhone would be amazing. That could actually work with a virtual joystick control as well. But never mind. That's that's wishland. So, final news item of the week is, as predicted, more iPad 2 rumors. Hey! This time around, let me just check which ones we've got here. It's going to be something about camera.
Extra camera.
Camera, okay. Let me guess. Actually, I'm not going to bring up the screen. I'm just going to guess. There's going to be a USB port somewhere involved. Because people really want a USB port.
It's not going to be USB ports, is it?
Has it got a USB port in there?
That's the rumour.
That's the rumour, yes.
Really?
I
would be surprised if... I think Jobs... I don't think, you know, Jobs would go for that.
No, he won't.
Yeah, I can't see it. But that is among the things that have been said. And it's going to be a Retina display.
Well, hang on. Well, the Retina display is a lower resolution than the iPad is already.
Well, that's just...
It's not in terms of density, though, is it? That's just because obviously...
Oh, well, yeah, good. No, if it's in density, though, that's going to be like...
Yeah.
more than HD.
What's the point of doing it?
Yeah, but that... So that was one of the rumours, but that's been dismissed. But not dismissed, but someone said, no, that's very unlikely. What's actually going to happen is it's going to be 7 inches, which Steve Jobs sort of dismissed even before that rumour came about, I think.
That rumour has been circulating since, like, the iPad. About a month after the iPad was released, that was when that rumour started up. It's amusing, though, to see rumours start up, get completely knocked down by the people in charge. It's like the Nexus 2 thing was like going around for ages, and then Google went, we're not going to make a Nexus 2. And everyone, oh. And then rumors went up again, like going, oh, Nexus 2's coming. It's like, what the hell? So, yeah. Right, so there's your fill of iPad rumors for this week. Stay tuned next week where we're going to have another load of iPad rumors. I'm quite tempted to just chuck the iPad down the rumor mine and let the rumor miner chip it to bits. But, well, you know, something else will come up. Right, let's we don't have any room mine this week because there's been a terrible accident involving a sparrow and a spanner. It's quite tragic. We can't really talk about it. We're under embargo until next week by the Rumor Miner's PR department. However, we can go straight to what we've been playing.
Rimmer. Rimmer.
First up this week, I'm going to pick the person who doesn't have an iPhone 4 anymore, Rob.
Yeah, okay, fine. Well, I haven't been playing anything. How'd you like that?
All right.
I could make something. No, I couldn't. It's been such a long time since I played anything. I've been playing Virtual Pool on the iPad. Still probably my favorite. So what I did a couple of days ago is I circulated an email asking everybody to tell me what their favorite games of the year was, and I was thinking maybe over the Christmas holidays I'll run this little mini interviews with everybody, and I was thinking, what's mine? It's either Flick Kick Football or it's Virtual Pool on the iPad. The funny thing is, I don't understand why the whole world isn't excited about Virtual Pool on the iPad. I don't know why I'm the only person talking about this game, because it's brilliant.
It's quite a big PC web game, isn't it?
I remember
Namco saying it. They've done like a million something or others. And that was like the start of the year.
Namco's a different one. That's Pool Pro Online.
Oh.
This is
what's this one?
It's by Solaris. It's also a PC franchise.
Okay.
I had the PC version. It was the first pool game I ever controlled with the mouse, and you hold your button down and you pull the mouse back and push it forward, and it was the first time I'd ever played a pool game that used that kind of mechanic rather than, you know, setting the direction and press the button. But on the iPad, an iPhone version came out, and that was fine, but it was just a bit too small for a pool game, really. On iPad, it's perfect. It's just the physics of it are great, because obviously they've been worked out over iteration since the late 90s. So the physics are really good. It's just a really good game. And I think anyone who likes pool, it's, to me, as far as I'm concerned, it's head and shoulders above any other iDevice pool game, and everybody should buy it.
But you actually like pool as well, don't you? I mean, that's the reason you like it, is you enjoy playing pool.
That's a prerequisite. Yeah, you have to like pool. I mean, if you don't like pool, then don't do it. But that, you know, I like football games, but I don't like football. So maybe it works. I can't speak from the perspective of somebody who doesn't like pool. But
I didn't particularly find it that exciting.
Do you like pool in real life?
Yeah. Well, no, I do actually. Yeah.
You're testing my theory in ways that I don't like. Okay. Well, that's it. That's all I've played recently. But I continue to recommend it.
John.
I've been playing. There's a lot of things coming out, really. I mean, I'm going to have been like playing them a lot, but kind of dipping into them. So, Backbreaker 2's out today. So I've been playing a little bit of that. I've got to play some more of that. That's obviously the follow-up to the 3 million selling Backbreaker. Still doing a bit of Gun Brothers.
Did you see all the experience my bro had given to yours?
I saw something rather. Yeah. But you're still. Hundreds? Hundreds of what?
Hundreds of XP. I played it really solidly for one day. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I went up to level 13.
Yeah, because I looked and then thought you still weren't. You hadn't leveled up past me. Anyway,
no.
No, not that far. I'm just at the moment reviewing a game called Zoo Rescue, which is bizarrely, it's Tapulous, who do all the Tap games, have done this really odd. It's not odd, but just a really different game. It's kind of odd because they got bought by Disney for loads of money, and they've made this game that it just seems a bit superfluous to what they should be doing. But anyway, what else?
What about They Need to Be Fed? Oh, that sounded interesting.
Yeah, no, I've kind of reviewed that. Once I review them, I forget about them. Yeah, it's really good. I mean, that's a kind of, it's not a Flash game in the sense that it wasn't made using Flash. It's made using something called Game Creator. But it's a web browser based game. So the guy who made it ported it to iPhone, which is really really good. From a relatively small English or British company called Yo-Yo Games, and they're just rolling out a whole bunch of these games that have been made with this tool to iPhone. I don't think they're going to get one better than They Need to Be Fed, because it is. Have you played it, Rob? It's...
No, but I was interested in it.
But no, it's definitely. I mean, you can play it if you go online to Yo-Yo Games. You can play it there, just in the web browser. And that's really good. And there's another game called Braveheart, which is again, I think, just out today again, which is kind of a bit of a kind of grinding RPG type experience. So yeah, a lot of people are trying to get stuff out now to kind of beat the Christmas rush. I think it's just going to be, yeah.
Wasn't there a cutoff for submissions?
Yeah, it's not until the 23rd or something, isn't it?
Oh, I thought it had already happened for some reason.
No. Well, they're locking the App Store, aren't they? All the charts will be the same and no one can update. But I thought that was the 23rd to the start of the new year. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, so wait, all the charts will be the same?
For that period of time, yeah.
Huh. Wow. I expect there to be quite a number of sales then. Just before the deadline. Yeah, I have been playing, this week I've been playing Spirits on the iPad. Very close to reviewing it, but not quite. I need to, so I've still been playing it, in fact, because I did mention it last week. Yeah, it's good. I've played a lot more than what I had done previous week. I'd say it's nice looking. It lacks certain things that I've expected from a Lemmings-esque puzzler, such as the ability to speed up time. Because some of the levels, if you get the solution, one of your little leaf spirits has moved past everyone else, then you have to wait for him to come back round and then wait for him, and they walk quite slowly, which is great when you're solving it, but not so great when you've solved it. So there's quite a lot of dead time. Which is a shame. And also, there's no button to make them all blow up. Although, to be fair, that's not a negative. That's just a personal personal thing I liked about Lemmings. It's when you fail, you could detonate them all in a fit of rage.
It is odd, though, if you're cloning a famous game like Lemmings, and I guess maybe that's too far down the clone route. if you end up copying quite obscure things like that, then
well, yeah, it's not an exact copy because it's only got 4 or 5 different skills and they're not quite the same as Lemmings. I mean, but the problem is the gameplay itself is very much a Lemmings-esque game.
Yeah.
But I kept wishing there were certain bits of Lemmings that were in it. It's like it's trying hard to not be Lemmings, but have the same sort of general feel of being Lemmings. But it doesn't have things like blockers. So, like, your leaves will just walk around and you'll end up a level, you'll lose a level purely because you missed one thing or, like, and it will feel kind of frustrating because there was nothing you could do about it once it went past a certain point. Whilst in Lemmings, you can adjust. You can go like, block. Okay, now you're all in this little pen. I'm going to destroy the blocker, and then we're going to build a bridge there, and then you're going to... See, but there's none of that with this. It's like, oh crap, I missed it. Oh, well, then dead. Better restart. Can't even blow them up. Feeling kind of like I want to blow up things now. Thanks. So, yeah. I mean, but it's a very nice game. It's got an art style that's sort of reminiscent of a sort of... not Limbo, but it sort of reminds me of a Xbox Live Arcade indie title from this year. Sort of like a sort of nice, sort of really atmospheric, very well drawn, very stylized, very much unique in its own way. You can look at a screenshot
unique
and then
in its own way or unique in like a
unique
way, like something like
just
another
unique.
One.
Unique. Just I was unique. Talking too long.
Fairly unique, almost unique. Yeah, I always love those.
Well, you can look at a screenshot and you'll know which game it is. That's basically what I'm getting at.
That's the function of a screenshot. Screenshots don't do that.
I think we're kind of assaulting Will before he gets his chance to beat us up next week.
Well, we're just teaching him.
So I've been playing that. I've also been playing a highly controversial game, which has caused a bit of a ruckus over the last few weeks.
Is it Custer's Last Stand?
Pun?
Is it Custer's Last Stand?
No. A lot of parents have been very upset about this game on the App Store, and a lot of them want it pulled. So young teenage boys, get ready for this one because you're going to be amazed. Because if you want to shock your parents, I recommend you download Smurfs Village. Smurfs Village? What? Smurfs? Oh. So I've been playing Smurfs Village, which isn't that shocking, really. It's just the in-app purchases have been a bit sort of weird. But we've discussed that. It's not a very good freemium game. I'm writing up a guide to see if I can try and find quick ways of getting your kids or you, if you're into Smurfs, through the game pretty quickly. But it is one of the most money-hungry freemium games I've played. you unlock buildings as you go, as with all freemium games. You level up, make crops, you level up. Get buildings, whatever. If you plant a crop that takes an hour to harvest and you come back 3 hours later, it's gone.
No way.
Yeah.
Although that's kind of the same as Weevil, wasn't it? Where you kind of your crops could spoil.
Yeah, they can spoil, but there's not. I mean, normally they give you at least 12 hours, but they adjust the time depending on how quickly your crops grow. So I came back for watermelons. I was within 12 hours of watermelons, which take 12 hours to grow. Mm. So it was okay. But I mean, some of my crops are spawned, and I was just like, what the hell? I wasn't that late. And also, there are literally no buildings. If you don't buy anything, you get no buildings. What you get when you level up is different kinds of houses and different kind of bridges. Oh, no, and a different kind of fence. No, bench, sorry. So that's it. All the actual buildings, like producing this building or producing that building, are all in, you have to pay money for. It's kind of a bit... You're not really aiming for anything. So I'm trying to work out how to get this done quicker. But
so how much have you spent so far?
Pardon?
How much have you spent in it so far?
None. I never spend anything on these freemium games.
Okay. It's quite popular though, that Smurfs game, isn't it?
Yeah, well it's very nicely drawn, it's the Smurfs.
Because quite a few people who work at Pocket Gamer, you know, we're friends, obviously, and we've got other friends who don't work for Pocket Gamer. And one of them, a guy called Chris Hewitt, emailed a few of us a while ago and said, hey, have you heard about this game, Smurfs Village? It's brilliant. Which I thought was unusual. It's, you know, because he plays WoW a lot, and he's, you know, and he's kind of, aside from that, a fairly normal person. I suppose it was one of the first times, because you get the feeling that you're just in this bubble of iPhone playing and writing about iPhone. Because it penetrates much, aside from something like Angry Birds, obviously. Because it doesn't seem to penetrate into the mainstream as much as like home console gaming does. It's quite unusual when, and it was a bit surreal when somebody reached through the bubble and said, I've been playing this Smurfs Village game, which you probably thought only you knew about. But yes, that is evidence that it's a popular game. It's being played by Chris Hewitt. We instantly warned him not to spend all his money on it.
I don't see. I mean, I can get the appeal of the other freemium games, but yeah, Smurfs, it's literally just trading off the license, in my own opinion. I mean,
but the license isn't that good. I don't know. I haven't got kids.
I don't know. Maybe the license has more power than we actually think, because I don't think the Smurfs have been big for the last 30 years.
Exactly. I think it's something. There's something more odd going on than it's a great license. I don't think it's a good license. It's never been a good games license, I don't think. I think it's a bit like Nintendo. I think it's a safer license, so kind of parents are kind of like, oh, you know, there's not going to be any kind of like, you know, bad language or, you know, anything at all in the Smurfs. I mean, it just literally is completely kid-friendly. And they can kind of maybe remember, you know, they kind of. But I don't. Do people like? The only thing I could think it was bigger than in America than it was in Europe. I never thought it was huge in Europe.
I thought. By the way, though, kid friendly. I just a warning to all you parents out there. One of the purchasable buildings is Smurfette's house, and Smurfette, and this is her special feature, goes around your village, allowing your Smurfs to gain experience. Now. I don't think I'm having a dirty mind when I say that.
I think you are.
Maybe a little bit dodgy.
Getting experience at what?
I don't know, it just says experience. It allows your Smurfs to gain experience.
Yeah, no, I think I'm with Will there. I think that you don't need to use your imagination too much to...
But it makes me intrigued, though. That makes me want to purchase Smurfberries to buy Smurfette's house to see exactly what this thing is. How they depict this to children. No, not really, of course. The Smurfberries are very expensive.
I was just thinking this. When you were describing the model and how, you know, you can't advance unless you spend real money to buy buildings that, you know, you can manufacture with and whatnot. I was thinking... You could make a really good political game using the freemium model, couldn't you? Like those Ian Bogost games and those other games. There was one about Darfur, wasn't there? Road to Darfur or something like that, where you play a game and it's really difficult and you have to go and get water or something, but on your way down to the well, you get killed by...
angry tigers.
Tribesmen or yeah, whatever. And the freemium model seems to me that it lends itself to a very illustrative and powerful political game.
Yeah, where money is king and you have to keep buying more things to get further into the game.
And if you don't have the money, then you can never advance and start working on this.
Although, I'm slightly worried, though, because Smurfs Village is not. It's like the worst... Out of all of the freemium games I've played, it's the worst freemium of the freemium games. It's like so much more... powered by money than what I've seen before. That it puts Farmville and Farmville, We Rule and all that to shame, I think, in its sheer commercialism, which kind of makes me worry because it's number one in the top grossing chart, and if I were a person commissioning a freemium game or a producer of a freemium game, I'd be looking at the top money making freemium game as my model for what I'm going to copy. And before that was the Farmville model, and I've got a suspicion that the Smurfs Village is going to become the new iOS model for freemium games, which would be very depressing because it's almost no game in it. I mean, it really is distilling it.
That's always the case with those games. Those games.
But this is even worse.
The successful ones are not games; they're a business model. So, and that's fine because gamers don't play them. You know, as we've seen in Farmville, you know, very few people who before this time would have said they're a gamer player. So, I mean, you know, it's, I don't know. The weird thing is that all you guys get really annoyed about it. We just don't play it. It's fine.
I know eventually it'll just turn into just like a thing, like sort of saying like there'll be a game called, I don't know, Thundercats. It'll be based on Thundercats because that's the kind of era we're looking at. And then it'll be basically a game where you boot up the game and then you are asked to pay an extra 59p to see the first line of the credits, and then you'll pay 59p.
I'd much rather get experience from Chitara than Smurfette.
I don't know, Smurfette.
I would almost pay for Chitara experience.
You have to. You have to pay for Smurfette experience as well. Where is this going?
Shall we move on?
Yeah. Other than that, I've been playing lots of old games that I've been catching up on, but I doubt anyone's very interested in them. Yeah. So that's what I've been doing. So we don't have any questions this week because no one asked any. But
so they did. So we got one about that game.
Oh, we did have one. Yeah. Sorry, Rob, take it away.
So Jonathan Duffy asked us about Ascendancy. Specifically, he says, we'll do the Steve Wright bit. I enjoy the podcast. Love the podcast. Yeah, you've always got to say that.
I don't listen to radio.
I don't often, but I'm just aware that he does that. I think because I used to listen to Mark Radcliffe and Lard, and they used to make fun of Steve Wright. Because they used to write fake letters to themselves, and they would do all this. They'd lay it on at the bottom about how much they love the podcast or how much they love the show, because that's what Steve Wright always does, apparently. Ascendancy is coming to iPhone and iPad, he says. And he wants us to tell him about it. We weren't successful in getting information, but a brief Google search did lead me to an FAQ on the Logic Factory site, so they say it'll be out soon. They say Logic Factory says, asking themselves this, when will it release? I don't like that when people say release. It's just, you know, use it.
When will it be released?
When will it be released? When will it come out? You can't just say when will it release. What's happening to the world?
That suggests that it itself is releasing itself.
Something else, yeah. When will it release? What's it going to release? It sounds like a masturbation, an ejaculation.
Will it release?
Term, doesn't it?
Oh, release! Wait, hang on. That's like a magician ejaculating.
Yeah, come on. We're trying to answer someone's question here.
Okay, Ascendancy. Soon. It's if you're not au fait with the game, it's one of my favourite Masters of Orion clones from the early 90s on the PC. It's a space strategy game. It's very cool, actually. If I remember rightly, it had a really good tech tree. Had some fantastic terraforming options, which could transform the map, because you basically fought over a universe. And you could really expand it out with the map. Or I might be thinking of Master of Orion 2. But Ascendancy is very good back in the day. I have fond memories of it. Like Johnny does, or Jonathan. So I'm looking forward to that. As Rob said, we did try and contact the people behind the iOS version, but they did not get back to us. So it's a shame. But hopefully it'll be coming out soon. It's optimized for the iPhone and iPad.
Soon, yeah, they say it's coming out soon. It's similar to the original one, but not exactly the same. But what you should do, Johnny, and anyone else who's interested, is go to www.logicfactory.com/main/faq.html.
Excellent. All right. So that was this week's podcast. I hope you all enjoyed it. It's been a great ride. Over the next few weeks, we'll be doing lots of Christmassy articles, possibly singing some Christmas carols next week's edition, after I beat everyone to a pulp. Stay tuned for some features where we'll be going through the best games you can get for your different respective systems. The iPad and the iPhone will be obviously included. And we will see you next week. Which most likely will be a very ramshackle one next week, to be fair. I'm just warning you now. But yeah, thanks very much for listening. My name has been Will Wilson.
I'm Rob Perrin.
And I've been John Jordan.
Yes. So yeah, we hope to see you again next week. Goodbye!